This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, my name is Daryl Ong and you're tuned into the show that's all about the people and places of our capital city. Now living in our capital city, we often couple with difficulties and stress when trying to make the best decisions in life. And for those who can't afford psychologists, many have looked to forms of spiritual readings to get a better understanding of themselves and their place in the community. Joining us in the studio to explain the science behind tarot card reading is the founder of Soleil Trinity, Jessie Lee, who specializes in metaphysics, and she gives us an explanation about her principles, as well as debunking a few myths about spiritual readings.
I would say that it actually traces back a long way, because I was actually raised in a temple. It's a Chinese temple in KL. It's actually one of the oldest temples in KL, downtown KL, near Chinatown. So ever since young, because of my exposure in all this in temple stuff and all that, I see a lot of masters at that time that come to the temple, bringing their clients and all that, doing readings for their clients. So it always sparked my interest into all these metaphysical things. And of course, one of them is actually the tarot master, which is right at one of the shopping mall in downtown KL. So at that time, I always like, you know, save up all your pocket money as much as you can, and you always go and invest on all these readings out of curiosity. Okay. So through time itself, I think like it has grown as an interest that I wanted to like learn it on my own. And eventually, yes, I read up, I got books and read it on my own, and I learned from some masters, some of the Western masters, but my first tarot master is actually from Hong Kong.
Okay.
All right. And then after learning, I start giving readings in the temple, and eventually it all grow. And yeah, up to now, it's like, at least, right, 13 up to now, not to say, should I mention the specific years?
Okay. Yeah,
right, okay, it's actually like almost like 20-odd years of like practicing like part-time and now full-time into it.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it's been already at least 10 years full-time into it.
When you're doing it part-time, what were you doing on the side?
Because at the time I was still studying, and after studies, I was still doing part-time, but I was working in Singapore. There was like 3 years I was with Singapore Airlines as an cabin crew. And after that, I quit my cabin crew job and I came back to settle down with a family, and that's when I go into full time into all these things.
All right. Taking you back to the temple, right?
Yeah.
When you were perked by and interested by, you know, all these readers at the temple. Do you remember the first time you went for a reading yourself?
Oh yes. Okay. I remember the first time that I went on, like, you know, you're like teenage and all that, and all you have like limited cash pocket money with you. And I remember very clearly at that time, it's like per question asked, it's like, you know, you top up the fees by questions.
Okay.
And I have to be very cautious with the number of questions that I can ask. Because I have limited money with me. And it was really good, because at that time I find that the Sifu, or the master at that time, he did really like clear some questions, some doubts and all that as well. Okay, the only thing I feel is a bit uneasy at that time, it was like, for tarot readings I always find masters which is like, no, they have like set the environment, which is like, you found that it's like, if it's very gypsy, like it's very mysterious, you have like crystal balls, you have like sometimes you have black cats in statue forms, okay, and some meditations needed, and you have like some candles and all that. So the setup itself is a bit uncomfortable for me at that time, but the reading itself was like enlightening, I would say. Yeah.
But I mean, how important is the setup in a business like this? For example, you know, because I'm driving by the road, I see someone on the side of the road, you know, under an umbrella giving palm reading. So, you know, is it really that important?
I will say that the setups and all that has been one of the probably branding or marketing, I would say, especially from the Western side of like our practitioners. So it's like, whenever you talk about tarot reading nowadays, right, okay, people will have the mindset of like, you see like gypsies in long robes, skirts, long hair, big earrings, crystal balls and all that. And at that point, I thought that in order to be a tarot reader, you need to be in such an appearance.
Okay.
But I think now I have like totally have a different concept in it. And I find that we do not have to like dress up or set an appearance or environment in such a case in order for us to do a good reading.
Okay.
All right. At the end of the day, I think the most important thing is like, it depends on the reader themselves, how clear their mind is, there's the clarity and how grounded they are, and how I would say how calm the situation is, instead of like setting all these things. Because I believe that the reason behind setting all the environment is to actually to calm your clients, to make them feel comfortable. But somehow I always find that it always works the opposite way.
I mean, it's the same with psychologists, right? You know, the long couch sometimes scares people.
Yeah, in a way.
Can you tell us more about Soleil Trinity? You know, what kind of services you guys offer, that kind of thing?
All right, okay. We actually offer like various kinds of like services, from like personal reading to events. We have a lot of corporate clients that engage us during like their corporate dinners or Chinese New Year events or team events, where we have our team of consultants giving like 10 minutes short brief consultations, or I can be doing sharings of a New Year brief talks and all that. And besides that, personal readings, we have various kinds of like personal readings. It just depends on, because I find that individuals, we have like different interests. Some people will find that tarot reading is interesting. Some might find that the Chinese astrology, as in bazi or face or palm reading, or even tea leaf divination, they find that these are the tools that attracts the attention. So for me, my purpose is always, as long as I can help a person, whatever tools that I use is irrelevant.
Right.
All right. As long as my client feel comfortable with that tools, then I will use that tool. And purpose is, at the end of the day, I'll be able to hopefully enlighten my client and give them a clarity in life itself, to make them make a better decisions with giving them options they have in life by, like, you know, elaborating out the options they might have.
Okay. Yeah. So tarot card readings benefits in that way, but the others, they
it is also the same thing, because I will say that all different types of reading, it boils back down to the same concept.
Okay.
All right. Be it a Western sort of like tools or Eastern sort of tools, is the same concept. We are also based on astrology. We are also based on like a randomness of synchronicity. It's also based of like all divination based on like the subconscious mind of a person. So I will say that, in regardless whether we are using an Eastern tool or a Western tool, at the end of the day, the purpose is still the same.
The results are still the same
to achieve that clarity of mind and help us to actually have a clearer path of the options that we might have in life. Because to me, I always find that life or good luck itself is always about the options. If we know our options and we have clarity on the options, so that we can make a better decisions, and subsequently we'll lead a better life. Mm. Yeah, it's always
but sometimes also I feel it's not just the options, it's like what comes after the options that scare people.
In a way that, okay, I will say that a lot of times like people will believe that everything is fated. There's some people always believe that, oh, we want to have our fortune read. Now, that is also why that I will never call myself a fortune reader or a fortune teller, because I'm not here to tell your fortune, because I believe that everyone's fortune is not fixed or not carved on stones. To me, I believe in fate. Right? Fated is only one third of life. It's like one third of part of a destiny, which is fated. The other two third depends on the environment, and most importantly, depend on our free will. We have decisions, we have options, we can take actions to overcome whatever negative outcomes that we predicted that's going to happen. We can always overcome it. It depends on how much we want to actually overcome that.
Wow, there's a lot of things to think about.
I would say that not really. I always find that people thought that, oh, I want to have my fortune read. And then in my time, at that time when I was like a teenager and all that, when I go to all these like fortune telling and all that, they will say that, no, they give you a specific answer, as in, oh, you're not going to make it in life. Or there are some people that say, oh, you can't get married, you will never have a successful relationship. And for me, I choose not to buy all these things. I would say that at the end of the day, there are always ways to work something out. It just depends on how and the methods and also the efforts that we put in.
All right, cool. Jesse, can you just take me through a history of tarot card reading? You mentioned that you inject some traditional Chinese elements into...
Yeah. Okay, a lot of times when we talk about tarot, we'll think about the Western approach, okay? It is actually very popularized by the Western culture back in at least the 15th century, all right? But divination, because tarot reading is actually part of divination, and divination has been existing since the earliest time of like civilizations. If you trace back even like ancient China, at least about like 4,000 years ago, all right, which is about like 1004 or 1007 BC, and back to the Zhou or the Shang dynasties, you will see that divination has been already recorded down up to now. Or in the ancient Egypt, even like in the ancient culture of Babylon and all that, you see that people has been doing divination all this while. But the only thing is, tarot has been popularized by the Western, especially by the gypsies in the middle of like 15th century and all that. Okay, and it started off like a lot of times people sees tarot as like just playing cards, and they are like using it like for fun, you know. It's like just having fun, sitting around, having some time, looking into the cards and all that. To me, I would say that I mix a lot of like concepts of like Chinese metaphysics into the Western tarot deck, because at the end of the day, I find that East or West the concept is still the same.
Yeah, like
it's
you said,
astrology.
Yeah.
It's actually based with the alignment of the stars in the universe and all that. It's actually based on the same stars, but because we have different culture, different background, we labeled it differently.
Okay.
But if at the end of the day, like Chinese, we have the 12 animal sign, and the Western, you have the 12 zodiacs or the 12 horoscopes, okay? It's actually the same stars. It's actually based on the 12 planets that represents or circulating or surrounding the universe. It's just that the different names we give it, and I think now we are at the era or the time where we do not, or I personally do not agree on like you know, we have to draw the barrier as in like West and East anymore. I think now we are in an era where that the East and the West, we can actually blend in together.
East meets West.
Yeah, we are actually like, we are the same. All right. So that's why also I take the concept of like Western tarot deck and put in a lot of like Chinese metaphysical elements into it so that we can actually merge the best of the two tools to come up with a deeper and more powerful outcome.
Is that common? Is it common practice?
I wouldn't say that it's common. So far, I will say that as far as I'm concerned, I will be the first one to merge this, because when I look at the books and I attend all the workshops or the conference, when I go overseas to attend the conference, they are still very stick to just one concept. So for me, I would like to share that the similarity between the two, all right, the East concept and the West concept as well, and we try to merge it. Also because I am more exposed to the Eastern ways of like Chinese metaphysics and all that.
So you kind of had to like adapt half-half and bring it both together.
So we try to find similarities instead of like looking for differences between the two tools. Yeah.
Okay. Can you just bring us through to someone, one of your readings for someone who has really no idea what a tarot card reading is about, you know, what's involved, you know, can tell us a bit about the deck?
I would say that there are various decks available. If you go to any of the major bookstores or even online and all that, you will see that there are a lot of different decks, different illustrations and all that. And the deck that I normally use will be the most basic, most simple, which is also the most popular, which is the Rider-Waite. Rider-Waite, because the illustrations are all very clear and the symbolism and all that is actually like very clear-cut and very strong, powerful. So all my classes itself, I will actually use this particular deck. But other than that, we also have like other decks like Osho Zen, we have like Gilded Tarot, we have the Legacy of the Divine Tarot and all that, which is also very good tarot decks that we can actually use. All tarot decks itself, it has like basically about 78 cards, because some people have heard like there are tarot decks, there are oracle decks outside, okay? The difference is tarot, you have a system with it. You have like major arcanas, you have minor arcanas, which is sound technical. I'm sure like the listeners now is like, oh, what's she talking about? Right? But basically all these cards itself, right, represents our life path.
Okay,
it represents the big things in our life and also the small details in life itself, so that whenever you pick certain cards, it tells you in detail like different aspects of our life itself, up to the body, mind, spirit, and also the emotion aspect of a person, so that we can pinpoint and go deep down into what are the issues that is underlying issues about this person that we can eventually hope to enlighten, heal them, or probably solve the issues that they have.
Okay, yeah. So as a tarot card reader, what's your role in this? You know, what kind of questions do you ask someone who wants a reading?
Yeah, most of the time when I actually first meet my client, I normally don't ask what are their questions. I do not want to know.
All right.
Will just ask them to pick cards. Okay, pick the cards.
Just at random.
Yeah, at random, pick the cards so that I can end. From the card itself, I can actually read deep down to their subconscious. I can actually tell them what they're going through now. Most of the time, touch wood, okay, I would say that like all my clients, they are very amazed, and so far they're very happy with this, because they don't have to tell me specifically what they want to know. Because when we open the cards, we'll be able to look deep down into them, and we know like what are the issues that's been bothering them. And that is when we see or try to actually figure out what are the potential strategy or methods or things that we can advise them to do in order for them to get out from such a situation, instead of going back into like repetitive, okay, like it's like a karmic thing that you go repetitive into the same issues or problems again and again.
Right. Yeah. So you said that you don't ask, you know, what kind of problems that they have, or even ask them any questions in the first few readings at least, right?
First reading, I don't ask. Okay, when I do the first reading, because I want to understand without any additional information from the site to see what are the person going through now.
I see.
All right, but after that, I will elaborate the situation to them, and then only they will come back with questions.
All right, I see. And you know, out of the readings of the 20 years plus experience that you had so far, you know, what seems to be the most common issue? You know, is it family issues? Is it relationships? Is it work? You know, what is it?
I will say that at the end of the day, out of like so many readings I've done, like in various parts of the world, like giving classes in like overseas and all that as well, I will say that at the end of the day, it will boil back down to three major aspects. Everyone will have either of these three major issues. Either it's your career or wealth related, either it's relationship, or it's either health. Because at the end of the day, no matter what sort of questions you try to ask or whatever, it all links back to all these three major topics.
I see.
So I will say that in a consultation itself, if you are able to address, all right, these three major topics together, if you talk about like their financial status, you talk about their career or their businesses related, you talk about their relationship, either intimate or within like the people around, social relationships and all that, at the end of the day, it's all covered.
Right.
All right. Okay. So I think actually we don't really have that much of a complicated issues, but sometimes we ourselves complicate things.
Right. I see. Okay. But so when you're doing these readings, you lay out the options, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said, but there is a possibility. I mean, for me as a reader, if I come to you and, mm-hmm. you know, you put out these three options with me, I definitely will think about the future. And in a way, it'll kind of alter my decisions to the future. You know, I know you said you're not a fortune teller and you don't intend, you know, to kind of skew the future like that. But it's inevitable,
of
right?
Of course, yeah. And because you see, at the end of the day, I will always believe that our future is determined by our present. Like whatever situations that we are going through now and the decisions that we make now is going to like greatly affect our future. So the purpose of the reading is like to open up or to elaborate on the situations now, all right, on a non-biased situations where I totally do not know my clients. Okay. I would just sit down there and give them, like, let them, hey, all right, if you want to start the business, this will be the outcome. Why is it so? Because I'm not here to tell you, oh, your business is not going to be successful. I'm here to tell you, why is it not going to be successful?
Right.
There are sure certain things that you can actually work on, you can actually like improve on in order to actually overcome the outcome. All right, so there's always ways for like for improvement. So the tarot deck is actually for me to tell my client, like, hey, this is a part that you have to look into, all right? And this is a part, if you want to change the subsequent outcome of like having a failure in your business or whatsoever, these are the things that you need to do, all right? Of course, at the end of the day, it depends on my clients or whether they want to do it or not. Because most of the time, I see that a lot of people that come to us, some of them really wants to look into like improvements in life. They really put in effort, and eventually over the years, you see that these clients have become like more successful, they become better and better. But there are some clients that come to us for the sake of like, hopefully they can get what they want to hear from us, and you see that you'll be surprised there are people like this.
So
like,
they come with expectations lah.
They come with expectations and will try to manipulate you so that hopefully you can give them the answer they want to hear.
Right.
In other words, I tell them like they are living in denial mode.
It's manufactured.
Yeah, in a way. So they choose to give or create excuses for themselves to stay at where they are comfortably, so they feel less guilty because someone else is telling them, hey, I'm doing the right thing, it's okay.
A professional said this, so
yes,
it's alright.
Yeah, it is okay for me to be like to fail in my relationship because the cards say so,
right,
or the face say so. So I never believe in such a thing, because I always believe that success or not in life, it's not about, it is like fakes or the cards or the charts say so. It's always about like you decided to.
Jesse Lee, founder of Soleil Trinity on tarot card readings. My name is Daryl Ong. Stay tuned for more of this conversation next on I Love KL BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name is Daryl Ong and you're tuned into the show that's all about the people and places of our capital city. Today on the show, we explore the science behind tarot card readings, and resuming the conversation in the studio today, we have the founder of Soleil Trinity, Jesse Lee, who tells us of the challenges in spiritual healing.
I will say that the biggest challenge is always with the clients who are willing to pay but unwilling to change. All right, I always have these clients. I am glad they come to me, okay, and pay me the fees and all that. Thank you if you're listening in, all right? But they know, because after a few consults, I will just tell them straight to the face, as in like, I am not seeing you anymore. Because if I don't see any progress, because every time that I see them, I've been like, tapping on the progress. Because if I don't see, if I'm checking on you and you have been in the same mode all the time and you keep seeing me, and that is not helping. So I would tell my clients that you have to stop seeing me, or if not, you might want to look for other consultants.
Okay.
All right, because I will find that this is like, it's actually like wasting their time, wasting my time, and also wasting their money. Of course, I don't mind their money in my pocket, okay? All right, but the thing is, at the end of the day, it doesn't give that fulfillment to me, because we always give strategies, we always give a plan, like, oh, what you need to work on now, okay, so that you can actually bring yourself up to the next level, you can up the game of life. But a lot of times, right, people choose to still stay where they are, and yet they go for like consultations like this to achieve that comfort, the assurance, they feel good, or every time I still see this so-called like consultants, all right, and I feel better, okay, so I do not encourage that.
Right.
So it's like after a few times, it's sad to know that we have to like tell our clients to, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to see you anymore until you get or rectify whatever situations that you're in now,
okay,
until you like make an effort to change.
So there is a difference between there's a very fine line in psychology and
I would say that, like, I'm not a certified psychologist, but I would say that in our line, it is very similar to what a psychologist will do. And the thing is, in Asian countries, in Malaysia especially, right, okay, I will find that our line of work is much more welcome compared to, I'm sorry, all psychologists out there. But when I see clients, why is it that? Because whenever a person's in our culture, Malaysian especially, right, okay, or my personal background, whenever we mention that, I need to see a psychologist, people freak out. People have a mentality, so I'm not crazy.
Right.
I'm not seeing a psychologist. But nowadays, in the trend that we're living now is like, I'm going to see a destiny consultant, or I'm going to see a feng shui master. And everyone, which one are you looking at? Because of the hype that we're going through now, and of course, all the branding and marketing and all that. Because people feel more comfortable seeing a consultant rather than a psychologist.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but where do you draw the line between those two fields? And of course, you know, basically, the advice you're giving are kind of like psychologist advice?
Yes,
in a way?
We do. Yeah, we do, because we actually give advices like this as well. The only thing is we do not prescribe drugs.
Yeah,
that's the only thing, because like, we are not certified. And for me, it's like, it's all about like actions. We are about like healing the mental belief. We're trying to influence a person so that they actually have a chance to change their perception, to change the belief. Because to me, in order for us to change our life itself, the first step is always our mental belief and our perception. So if I am able to do that, I would say that it is actually a case well done.
Right. Okay. As a reader, intuition, I mean, basically what you do is, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of judge people every day?
In a way that I will just say is that I don't judge, because at the end of the day, I don't make decisions for people.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I just elaborate their situations, because at the end of the day, I will find that everyone will have our strengths and weaknesses, me included. So I just elaborate on their strengths, elaborate on their weaknesses, and I will actually highlight to them like, hey, this is your strength and this is your weakness. Which one you want to tap into?
Right.
All right, okay. Right. So it's like, I just give them like some moments of like, I would say moments of light, like hopefully that they can actually hear it from someone who totally do not know them, and to tell them what are their strengths in life, what are the things that you have to look out for and all that. And you'll be surprised that a lot of times the clients already knows like the answers. They already know that they are good at certain things. It's just that they're lacking of confidence,
right?
And like they are just unsure, and they just want to hear it from someone who totally do not know them and no bias. Because sometimes even like our family members and all that, when they nag on us, they tell us something, even though it's true, it's a bit difficult for us to actually accept it.
Right. And while doing these readings, you know, I'm sure you had to kind of like follow your intuition to what the listener wants to hear. Have you ever, you know, become skeptical of your own intuition?
I always learned to trust. Even I was like, I just completed a 3 days tarot class. Okay, I conducted a tarot class in my office. I always tell the students and even my consultants and all that, always trust your intuitions and always trust the cards.
Okay.
The cards never lie. People do.
Wow, okay. That's
okay. Really, because if you are into the field, you will find that the cards are always showing the right signs and the right the right path. It's just that people choose to be in denial. People choose to not face the reality. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, in Malaysia, Jesse, tarot card readings and even any readings of the sort is taken a very skeptical view.
Yeah.
Can you just explain and try to play on the other side on why people are skeptical about this?
I will just say is that, okay, I don't blame people for doing it. It's because like from the ancient time up to now, a lot of people say is that ignorance is bliss. People choose probably not to know rather than to know. And I do not actually, I can totally understand, because there are some like masters or consultants out there, like me inclusive, that I've like seen some masters that they give us like very scary outcome without giving us a solution. I always tell my consultants and also my students one thing. If you can't give a solution to your client, all right, never review whatever problem they're having. Because there's no point, all right? We are not at a position to make the person more miserable after walking into the consultation rooms. It's like, for us, it's like, if you see the problem, what is the solution? If you can't get to the solution, don't tell.
But, you know, you can't make everyone happy. You can't let everyone leave the room in a positive mood, right? You have to bring news when it's bad news sometimes.
Yeah, it is bad news, but there's always a solution. For instance, like I have examples before that relationship issues that this lady come to me and it was like frantically asking about their husband. She was suspecting the husband having an affair outside and all that. And obviously from the chart, that time I was actually reading from the chart. And then from the chart itself, the chances is very high that the husband do have a third party or an issue outside. But I keep on refocus her directions onto instead of like focusing on the husband having an affair, why don't you focus about bringing the best out of yourself? Why don't you focus about improving yourself, be the best of yourself, okay, and do something for yourself, right? Because at that time, if I reveal to her, yes, your husband's having an affair, having another woman outside, what can you do? And right. I told her, like, honestly, directly to the face, if you want to know the truth, can you handle it? All right, you are in the position, you're a housewife, you are like, you don't even have a job, you don't, you're in terms of wealth and all that, you're not even like financially secure. All right, why don't you just work on yourself instead of like keep on wanting to know whether your husband having another woman outside?
All so right? You have to, like, in a sense, follow your intuition to pull back the details and not let them know the full picture for now.
Yeah, right? Because we as consultants, we need to know what is best for them. All right, at the same time as well, because, you know, of course, based on their personality and all that, giving them the truth is one thing, but whether they can handle it is another thing.
Right.
All right. There's really no point if we cannot give a proper solution for them and you just reveal the truth to them. Mm. In fact, we will just ask them to focus on something they can work on instead of focusing on something that they can't do anything about.
Jesse, you said just now that you have a school.
Mm-hmm.
And also you had, you know, you were studying tarot card reading since 13 years old, right?
No, 13 years old, I have like, that's my interest.
That's your interest, yeah. So you picked it up through then.
Yeah, I picked it up, yeah.
I always thought that things like this, you have to be the chosen one, you know, you either have it or you don't. It's like a natural kind of thing. So people can actually pick it up and actually learn how to do
Definitely, definitely. It's like some people are generally more intuitive. They can pick it up easier. But actually, if like for those who are not intuitive, all right, you just have to put in more effort. To me, I think it's like, it's very fair.
Okay.
Like people who are naturally talented onto something, they spend lesser time and yet they can become like better. But doesn't mean they will eventually emerge as the best. Because like people who have no like natural talent in that specific field, they just have to spend more time with it. And at the end, the result's the same.
That was Jessie Lee, the founder of Soleil Trinity. For more information on her work, you can head over to soleiltrinity.com. That's S-O-L-E-I-L, trinity.com. Sadly, we've come to the end of today's episode of I Love KL, but just let me remind you that if you want to revisit the interviews, you can head over to our website www.bfm.my/ILoveKL to download the podcast. Also, if you want to get in touch with the show directly, you can tweet us. We are at BFM Radio. My name is Daryl Ong. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week for another exciting episode of I Love KL right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
We see the news that teen vaping's on the rise, but teens see something else. Internet videos that talk up fun flavors and downplay the dangers of nicotine. How can parents talk so kids will listen? Use facts. 1. Nicotine can rewire teens' brains. 2. It can make kids more anxious. 3. Changes to the brain can be permanent. So even when it tastes like candy, nicotine is brain poison. Go to flavorshookkids.org for more.